driving my damn co-host crazy trying to get episode 379 out, man. It's just been one of those days that it's been one of those days because we're doing new stuff, man. You know, the quality of some of our stuff has just been bothering me, so we had to work. So we've been working for a while, man. So she's in a foul mood. Hopefully everything will get better.
That's really rude of you to say. Like, it's not like it's that we sat here for like 40 minutes while he's like, no, that's not quite right. No, that's not quite right. If you were here, you would be also insane. So how rude of you.
I apologize, Tipolina. I'm trying to do better. Like, even right now, I'm like making adjustments. This is show 379. And the title of the show is Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. We finally got a chance to go to the movies and check out that little gem. So I'm looking forward to talking about it. We got some news this week, too, starting with some Stranger Things news, man. You know, it's got a different look of an actual trailer. They've been showing garbage for the longest time, but they actually got a trailer this week. Also, we have, what else? What's the name of that thing?
Crimes of the Future.
Crimes of the Future. Right. I was about to say something against humanity or some shit like that. Crimes Against Humanity. So Crimes of the Future, that's something brand new that may end up being something interesting for us to preview. And we got a Facts on Patrol game. We haven't done this a raw Facts on Patrol in a long time. So Tiff suggested that we do, what is it, Tiff?
Four questions about like parallel universe or time travel, basically.
Yeah,
timeline movies.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, you know, so that's what we're gonna do. And then the name of the main topic that Tiff has been clamoring to get to. What is it, Tiff?
Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
Yes, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. So, you know, that's gonna do it, man. That's the show, and that's how we're gonna roll. Are you ready to roll?
Yes.
Wonderful. Let's go. All right, man, we are back. It's social media time, so you can find out other places to listen to us and enjoy the goodness that is Fans of Patrol. Could you tell the people, Tiff?
For everything Fans of Patrol, go to fansofpatrol.com. That's our main hub. You can get to us by emailing us at fans@fansofpatrol.com. Or on our social media, which is Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Fans of Patrol. Check out our Patreon, subscribe to our YouTube, and listen on your favorite listening platform.
Indeed. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. And these were your show notes, Tiff. I was quite impressed with some of this stuff that you was able to dig up this week. What do we got?
So this week I found, was there already a trailer? There was like a short trailer for Stranger Things.
About a year ago they showed
Hopper. Yeah, that kind of the beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
Of this trailer. Where the girl's in the thing and you think it's 11.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is the new trailer for Stranger Things, and it's going to come out, what is it, July? August? September?
I thought it's
July. I feel like it's July.
Oh, okay. I thought I saw May, but I'm always wrong.
Oh my God. It could be May. I'm lost, everybody. Well, wait, it'll show us the end of the trailer, but
yeah.
I don't know. I wanted to ask you how you felt about this, because I know that you probably... I know that you have continued to enjoy this show, whereas I have not so much.
Yeah, you put it down a while ago. And it is May. It's May 27th. Yeah. So, the last season, you know, was my least favorite season. It just seemed like they were just, like, wedging, like, they were just extending the story just because it was successful. It really felt that way. You know, there was some... nice whimsical things that happen, you know, especially with the heavy nostalgia that is this show. And it just didn't seem like the story was being, I mean, they moved it along, you know, because this person was there, the family moved out, you know, blah, 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 dee, dee, dee. And you were like, wow, so this is not going to be around that much longer. And then they said Stranger Things 4. And I was like, for real? Well, so-and-so and this happened and that happened. And so I figured that it was just going to, you know, suck. You know what I'm saying? Like, they were just going to run it into the ground. Until I saw this trailer, Tiffobot. This trailer has changed my whole outlook on things with this. Because they're bringing back, you know, some characters. They look like a character like Billy. Excuse me. Oh, shit. Excuse me. Standing up, you know, acting a fool. You know, you hear Harper's voice, and that's cool. I don't have any more powers. The government's like, it's a war. So it's like, whoa, what the hell is this whole thing has changed, you know? So it looks like we're going to find out what exactly the government was doing. And then they introduce a tangible, you know, bad guy, you know, seemingly at the end, not just a creature going, wah, wah, you know, it's upside down world, because it was like, okay, so what? You got creatures in the upside down world that's basically like lions and tigers, you know, like predators. But, you know, the bad guys, the creatures from the other side never seem to have any kind of, you know, sentient type of plan or anything. You know, it's just something that exists. So now it's kind of dope that you're like, okay, maybe the government was right, but just going about it like the government do, all effed up, and they were trying to prepare because they knew something was trying to come and destroy the world or take over the world. So I don't know. It looks good to me, Tim.
I feel like this is a really in-depth discussion, like a conspiracy theory presents Stranger Things, the trailer, because you're like, not that it's not factual to this trailer, but that like, you're like, ah, I feel like, you know what I mean? I actually do agree with you. This is not a bad trailer, but I actually think that they have, always kind of done that, where like the trailer I felt was really good. Mm-hmm. And the show, here's the thing, as much as I like whatever about the show, you know, that it's not whatever, I think it's because I liked that first season so well. I think that if I had seen one of these other seasons as if that was the first time I'd ever watched it, I probably wouldn't
think
the same thing.
That's a good point, Tiff, because it hit me when they showed, you know, the one kid playing basketball, and they were high schoolers now, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, 80s high schoolers, you know, horror thing would be cool too, you know? So in my opinion, while them, you know, we were always like, who cares? Because, you know, they were like cute little kids doing stuff, you know, like the E.T. Adventures, you know, but horror. And now they're teenagers, and all horror movies in the 80s was teenagers, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, now they're all teenagers, and then, like, you know, the brother and the sister, they're grown and stuff. And it just looks like it's like it found itself again in this trailer. Hopefully I'm right, because, you know, for the longest I've always wanted this to be more, but those, you know, that last season and even the season before that was just, you know, it was disappointing compared to the first season. You're right, you know, first season was just like, ah, but now maybe that we're over the shock and awe of how good the first season was and what we have now, starting from one of those seasons, you probably would love it too, you know, like, oh shit, this is pretty good. I agree with you. That's really insightful there.
Thank you, Amaya. I'm very smart. I do think that not to be like, but it's weird. Some of these kids look weird.
Oh, they're getting older.
You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that like, oh, kids. I'm saying that in like lots of different ways, but like mostly in the way that like it's weird to see people whose show, like whose actions in the show, like just last season, Will was making baby decisions because he's a baby. And now he's an adult or a teenager in this. I mean, he's a teenager in the show. But it's like, it's hard for me to grasp that they would continue. I'm assuming they're going to skip, right? They're going to be like, time has passed. But I don't know how they're going to do that, because some of the plot lines of the movie were not resolved. So like, if they're not skipping, it's going to be hard for me to reconcile his extraordinarily childish decision making from the last season.
Yeah, well, he's growner, you know, so they're all high schoolers now, so.
Right, so you have to be like, oh, are we just, I guess my question is, have they bumped up the timeline? And if so, how are they going to do that? And if they haven't, how are they going to explain age difference?
I think they're going to bump up the timeline maybe a little bit, because, you know, they're still kids, but I bet you they faded away. Now they're in high school, because what nerd playing Dungeons and Dragons is on the basketball team? I ain't haven't seen that in 100 years. You know, I was like, well, he never played no sports.
Actually, know? I think that probably happens a lot more now than you'd think.
Really?
Yeah, probably.
Nerds were nerds, and they stayed nerds when I was in school.
I mean, this nerds being maybe more allowed or socially acceptable to do that stuff, but then also not nerds having social permission to engage in.
And see, a nerd back in the 80s would have never had social permission to all of a sudden be hang out with the jocks. Yeah. So, interesting enough, man. I'm looking forward to it. May 27th. always in the summertime. Last time, I think they were in the 4th of July. Yeah.
Because that was the 4th of July. Yeah. That's probably what, I mean, but yeah.
Yeah. So I'm interested again.
and you would be, no offense, but you would be interested no matter what.
Nope.
Liar.
No. Like, goddamn, Tiff. If you remember at the end of the last season, I was like, I'm not interested no more. You know, I was like, you know, who cares? And then when they showed last year Hopper, I was like, oh, come on, man. Who cares about this shit now? You know, but now I'm interested again, you know.
All right.
Yeah, so there we go. What else do we got?
Okay. So the trailer for Crimes of the Future.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a Cronenberg film.
Yes.
It's going to be weird and gross, and everybody's going to have to deal with it. but you see this, and you can see that there's going to be gross body horror stuff, yes. And you're going to be like, I'm sick. But it's got so many famous people in it.
Yeah, yeah.
There's Viggo Mortensen. There he is.
Haven't seen him in a billion years, man, you know?
I think the last movie, he was in The Green Book.
Yeah, yeah.
But I didn't see that.
I didn't see it either.
He was also, the man with the ears on his head, I don't like that. I think that the last movie I kind of remember him being in was that one where he's like an outlaw in a bar and there's a shotgun.
Oh, History of Violence?
Yeah, that's the one.
Which was effing dope because the twist on that sucker is like, are you kidding me? When the twist happened, I was like, okay, I'm all twisted out. Jesus. I mean, they just...
no more twists.
Right. They twisted that to death. And then, you know, not that we need to go down his career, but was Eastern Promises? Was that that Russian, you know, mafia movie he was in and stuff like that?
So, I don't know. I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, he's a great actor, you know, old Aragorn himself. And he's a weirdo, I know for sure.
Aragorn.
Right. He's one of those actors that's, you know, I mean, I don't know. He's like a famous, not famous type of personality. You know, I've seen some interviews with him and I'm like, wow, he really struggles to be just a regular dude, you know. So It's just interesting. This looks like a hot mess to me, Tifflebot.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's like I didn't even know those was ears on his head till you just saw that. Now I'm like, those was ears on his damn head. Terrible, man. Yeah, a lot of gross stuff in this thing, man. I mean, is this a TV movie or a movie?
It's a movie, ding dong.
It's going to the theaters. I mean,
got Kristen Stewart in it. Yeah, and
you never know. You never know. Sometimes, you know. Yeah, Kristen Stewart, Viggo Mortensen.
Cronenberg's a very famous director. Actually directed, give me one second.
Yeah, you looking, trying to look it up.
I gotta look it up because I can't say it and just pause it.
Yeah, I'm pausing everything?
Well, yeah, I'm not going to do it on the air. You have to cut it out anyway because we're sitting here doing this bullshit.
I got so much shit to pause. Let me see.
Don't pause. Just cut it. I was going to say, he did A History of Violence, but I was like, I'm wrong about that, but I'm not.
No, that was him, 100%.
Yeah, so I was like, am I wrong?
No, that movie stuck with me. I remember because it was after.
But he's also done like a lot of like regular, like that's kind of a regular movie. Crash is a regular movie. But then The Fly is not a regular movie. Videodrome is not a regular movie.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But I mean, those all are respected movies. I'm just saying that like.
Well, and the thing about what I was saying is that you just never know what's coming on streaming and what's coming on to the theater now. You know, movies that you would definitely think that would do good in the theaters, you know, have came on streaming. And so it's just, you just never know. So,
No, I see what you're saying. It'll be a theatrical home release.
Yeah, yeah, that's what.
No, I'm sure that'll go to the theater. Yeah, we're over the theatrical home release now.
Oh, well.
We're not doing that no more.
They just did a couple of Ryan Reynolds films that actually... Yep. But you know that last movie we watched is actually doing really, really well, man.
Yeah, but Ryan Reynolds is turning into the new Adam Sandler, where he just wants to fart his stink in every room.
God damn it, Devilbot.
I'm sorry.
I like
some rooms are not for your stink. And then he's just like not proud. He's like, sure, I'll shit in this dumpster if you pay me $5 so you can watch. Like, how shameless. Fuck. Shameless.
The thoughts and opinions of Tobot does not reflect the
whole, in case Ryan Reynolds or any of his associates hear this.
No, I like Ryan Reynolds. That's what I was saying.
I don't dislike him either, but like if you start just to do everything and anything, then you aren't, are you creating art or are you just a monster who's trying to make more and more money?
Oh, shit. Anyway.
This was a bad day to record because I'm grumpy.
Oh, no. But that's it for the news, everybody. And I'm not grumpy. So we're going to take a break and we're going to be right back. We're going to shake that grump off because it's time to play some games and have some fun.
Ooh, I'm going to lose.
We'll be right back. From the darkness, from other dimensions, it's time for Facts on Patrol, where we're going to do some other dimensional type of questions, hidden timelines, parallel timelines, anything to do with time travel timelines. So, if this is your first time listening to the show, thank you, man. Thank you for sitting down with us, man. We love you for that. Yes. Also, in this middle section, we do whatever we want to do. We play games.
We're the boss here. Unlike the rest of the sections where it's also whatever we kind of want to do.
Right. Yeah. We follow a format. This one
we have a format, but this one does change. Yeah. It's like whatever we're. Yeah. It's mostly like whatever we can get together.
Yeah. Games, previews of, what do you call those things? Episodes of shows, lists, the countdowns and stuff, which I think might be my favorite. I love counting shit down. other than that,
I love counting shit down.
I love counting shit down.
Tego Bradley story.
Number 10 of what?
actually, I love counting shit down as a book would be really great if you started with chapter 10 and went down to 1.
Oh, wow.
You're welcome, everybody. Don't take my fucking ideas. At least give us a dollar on Patreon, you sons of bitches.
God damn. We also have a Patreon.
Giving them out for free, my ideas. Here they come, vomit. And anyway.
D, we're doing Facts on Patrol. Mm-hmm. Kind of reeling in, y'all.
Douser with water.
So this is, like I already explained, time travel. So this is your game, Tiff. So you will host. Go ahead.
Yeah, but does that mean you want to be asked first or answer first?
It's all up to you.
Oh, but that was both the same thing. I'll ask you.
Yeah, okay.
I have asked this question before, I'm pretty sure. So this is a revisited question to see if Montego can answer it.
She about to put some 12 Monkeys bullshit in here or something.
Actually, no.
No.
But yes, later. Name the rabbit in Donnie Darko.
God damn.
Have you learned your lesson?
God damn it. Freddy?
No, but it's so close. I kind of want to give it to you. That's so good.
Oh, so
that's
Wait a minute. Okay. I did answer straight out, so it's too late. So are any of your questions multiple?
Hell no. And don't give me multiple choices either.
Oh, well, see.
If mine aren't, then yours shouldn't be.
Okay, this might be a terrible game, but I had multiple choice. I was, you know, because normally,
sorry.
For the people who first time listeners, normally we have multiple choice.
That's not even true.
No.
Just whenever, sometimes.
Well, most of the time, if we're doing Facts on Patrol, we normally have you can answer straight out or you can do multiple choice. Straight out questions is 2 points, multiple choice questions is only 1, if you get it. So, what is the dumb bunny's name?
Frank.
Damn, I was close.
I know. That's why I said you were close.
Damn. But that close don't get you there. Damn it.
Close doesn't win the race.
Damn. I
second
see,
place, first loser.
I had this in my mind, though, man, because I knew I was there. God damn it. Okay.
My turn. Now you can embarrass me because I won't know the answer.
And I have multiple choice, too. So.
Don't. We're not doing it.
Man, God damn it. I had to look up these names for multiple choice. Go ahead. So, in the movie Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
What was the name of the outer dimensional god? I got multiple choice.
I should know this. Give me the multiple choice.
Multiple choice. Is it Malekith? Is it Caletheus? Is it Mordo? Is it Dormathu? What are you in?
Dormathu.
And that is correct. That is correct. He said.
So, if I answer straight out, it's 2. Multiple choice, it's 1.
Yeah.
Same for you.
Okay.
Because you have to do them
straight
out.
But you don't have any multiple choice, though, right?
I know. That's why you only.
Oh, I just get all minus 2.
I can just make shit up.
No. That's cool. This is the challenge, man. That means.
Holy shit. Look how excited he is. He's never been a good winner or a good loser, but he is excited by the possibilities.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Of getting 2
he
points.
He likes to live in the moment.
You're god Damn right. Right.
Jesus fuck. Okay, are you ready for your second question?
I am.
What technology or whatever, what do they call the thing that allows people to move through time in Tenet?
God damn it. God damn it. Wow. I only seen Tenet one time.
Yeah, this is a mean question because I don't even know people who... I know you liked the movie, but I don't even know if people who have seen it multiple times would be like, easily answer this question. Wow. Maybe you would because they do talk about it quite a bit.
Oh, shit. I just... the breakers? I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah.
This is a good one. It is. It was weird as I looked it up because I was like, what is it? It's kind of like either reverse entropy or time inversion.
Huh. So, yeah. Wow. Okay. Yeah.
So, they hit them with like a thing and then they go, listen.
I would have never got that.
I didn't care much for it.
Oh, I love it.
I don't
really
remember. I know you did. Yeah. I know. Okay.
So, sorry,
my nose is really itchy. It's making a horrible noise.
I'm being butt raped here. So, here we go.
Do not say shit like that.
So, in the movie Back to the Future.
Yes.
What two alternate outcomes become of the character Red? It's a good question. There's no multiple choice for this one either.
I have seen this movie.
Yes.
Many times.
Yes.
But it's been a long time, I think, since the last time I saw it.
Okay.
And I don't even remember this character.
It's a minor character.
Red, you said?
Yep, Red.
I'm going to say one, he wins the lottery.
Okay.
The other one, he's homeless.
Oh, shit. One of them was homeless, but you needed both of them. He was mayor in the old days.
Yeah, I was going to say, okay, now I do.
Mayor Jesus. Red, and then he was the bum, and he was the homeless yes. guy.
Yes. Okay, cool. Real cool.
Yeah.
Real cool question, bro.
Yeah, it was a good question. I know.
Okay. Fuck off. Yeah, I know. Good job, me. Point to me for asking this question.
I know.
So, okay, let me get.
I'm still losing 1-0, so. Okay.
Name the fawn from Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
The fawn?
He's a satyr, but I think they call him a fawn in the book. And
yeah, he's played by James McAvoy.
He sure is. Everyone's getting horny.
Mr. Tumnus.
It is Tumnus. I definitely thought you wouldn't get that. That's so adorable that you know that. Yeah. So 2 points for you. Now you're winning and you can finally shut up.
Oh, shit. I feel like $1 million.
Let me see. Oh, my God. You're the fucking worst. I just, I don't even understand the point of any of this. Go on. No. Ask me my dumb question for dumb-dumbs.
Okay. This is a pretty good one, but this is not a Tiflbot question.
No. How nice of you.
In the Terminator franchise.
Sure.
How many times has the hero, John Connor, been killed?
Do you think I've never seen Terminator?
No, you've seen them. I said the franchise. I didn't say one movie. I said, you know.
I've seen all of them except for that one.
All right. Then there you go. How many times has he
died? But do I remember them? Yeah. No, I don't.
Damn. Okay.
Not because they're bad. I just, you guys, there's something wrong with my mind, okay? I don't know how to explain this to any of you.
I have multiple choice.
No. It wouldn't matter anyway because it's just numbers. And if I don't know, I'm just guessing. That's so true. I'm just going to go flat out here and say 3.
Oh, shit. So close. It was actually.
Is it 2?
It's 2. Yep.
Damn it.
So close.
You sons of bitches. I thought there'd be like a forward, backward, through time bullshit. Kill twice.
I thought it was actually more than that. You know, and I was like, you know, let me think. You know, no, it was 2 times.
Rude.
He died.
Well, I'm not gonna win now.
He died in Terminator, the shitty one, Genesis, I believe that's the name of it. Not Genesis. It might have been Genesis, where he was the Terminator, so they killed him.
Oh.
And then like he died in the last movie, you know, in a story. You know, they got Edward Furlong to come and play his young self.
I love Edward Furlong.
And he got shot in the back, and the mother explains he was dead. So that counted as 2. So, man.
Guys, it technically counts as 2.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It does.
Anyway, okay. So, your last question.
My last question.
It is some 12 Monkeys bullshit. Let's get on it.
Okay.
And 12 Monkeys.
I knew it. I was like, well, I'm just going to throw
Cole
a 12
have
monkey.
A recurring dream about?
The end of the world.
No.
Damn. Okay.
It's like airport chase scene where a man gets shot.
Yeah, I saw this movie way back in the day when I was like in college.
I'm smelling a Patreon.
And I didn't like it, so you know.
It was... Oh, you guys, it's on. He hates it. We're watching it for the Patreon. I cannot wait to hear him complain about something or the mental gymnastics he will go through to try to tell me it's okay now.
The only only thing I remember about that movie, honestly, is Brad Pitt like being skinny, all skinny, and acting a fool, and you know. And I was like, so what is this about? You know,
I read something on the internet about that. That's why I was laughing earlier about. Brad Pitt. Anyway,
what's up? Brad Pitt. What's wrong with that?
Because the internet said he wanted to change his sex symbol image in this movie, so he wore brown contacts, and I was like, brown eyes.
That's it.
Sexy. Very rude of you to say that.
Wow. Well, okay.
Yeah. Rude motherfucker.
Just.
Anyway.
Okay. In the movie,
that was you're like that was it. That's all he said. Anyway, go on.
In the movie Avengers Endgame. What? Yes. Oh, I'm so sorry.
What was my question?
What did I write here? in the movie's Avengers Endgame.
Yeah.
What team member first coined the term America's ass? I have multiple choices.
I know the obvious answer. But I think it's Tony Stark.
Tony Stark is incorrect.
It is not Captain America.
It's incorrect.
Who is it? Who said it?
Scott Lang said it. He said, that's America's ass. As far as I'm concerned, that's America's ass.
I would never have gotten that. I would never have gotten that.
Really?
Never.
Okay, I thought it was a good question.
Who?
Scott Lang, Ant-Man. Scott. Oh. Yeah. He was like, "That." As far as I'm concerned, that's America's ass.
I do love him.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Yeah. It's fine.
So, man, that's it, man. That's the game. So, who won here?
You.
Wow. And what are the
and that's how good it feels is that you had to ask me.
Abysmal 2-1.
That was rough. You know, I think questions. Like we don't share a lot. We do share some. I think a lot of what we share is on this show, and then everything else is just we don't like the same thing.
I should have got Freddy or Frank. I should have got that. The 12 Monkeys one.
Someday, yeah. I'm gonna know everything.
Yeah, there you go. It's called death.
Oh, okay.
Whoa.
That feels like a threat.
Not at all. So, man.
It's on recording for the any murders that happen.
Yeah, all over the internet. So, that's it, man. That's our game. I won! I win!
Oh, Jesus Christ, you guys. That's always win. Terrible. This man is a bad man.
That's my General Zod. So, anyway, man. That's it. We're going to take a breaky poo, and we're going to come back. It's time. It's main topic time, man. I'm looking forward to this. So hold on to them.
Cheeks.
We'll be right back.
I appreciate you. Fuck you. Cheeks.
It's time to move forward. It's time for the main topic. It's time for Everything Everywhere All at Once, a film that we have been waiting for the longest, but the release date has been a little weird, Tipplebot. You know, it's been slated to be released at this time, slated to be released at that time, and we've just been waiting. So it finally came out. Everywhere, because I think it was released a long time ago in select cities and stuff like that. So this is a action adventure comedy. It is. Let me see. 2022 rated R, 2 hours, 19 minutes. An Asian Chinese immigrant is swept up in an insane adventure where she alone can save the world by exploring other universes, connecting with the lives she could have led. That's an excellent synopsis there. I'm gonna let you have fun and tell us who's in this movie, Tiff.
Okay, so excuse me for anybody's name that I say incorrectly, but it's Michelle Yeoh, who we love.
We love Michelle Yeoh. She's got more stuff coming too.
Stephanie Hsu.
Yes.
Ki Hua Kwan.
Short Round is in the house.
Yeah, so there. I was so impressed by him. Getting ahead. Jenny Slate.
Yes.
Harry Shum.
Yes.
Harry Shum Jr., who most people would probably recognize from Glee.
Yes.
very hot. So I'm uncomfortably hot.
Okay.
James Hong
My
and Jamie Lee Curtis.
Boy, James
I know, Hong. I can't believe James Hong is in this movie.
What was his name in Revenge of the Nerds? Snotty? And Jamie Lee Curtis, the fabulous Jamie Lee Curtis. Lee Curtis. So, yep. So wonderful, wonderful cast. So we're about to hit it hard. It's time for one word. One word, Tiff, what you got?
So I'm going to say beautiful.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I am interested. Why beautiful?
I like the message of this movie.
Ah, the message.
I mean, it's also, I think, a beautifully shot movie. I think that there's lots of really great things that happen in it.
Well, you know, the Russos had a lot to do with this movie, Tiff.
I know.
Yeah, I was like, oh, wow. I didn't know that until, you know, the credits were rolling. And I was like, you know, the way the movie went, it had you scared to leave. You know, it's just like,
well, right, sure.
Is this? So I was like, oh, the Russos did this. The Russos. Okay, cool. My one word, man, is marvelous, man.
Mm-hmm.
100% marvelous. There were moments in this movie that I didn't think I was gonna like it. You know, I was like, hey, I don't know, but it was so original. Oh my God, it's so original, and that really, really stuck with me. You know, the originality of the idea and the concept of what they were doing in this movie, and even the direction it took toward the end. You know, like the things that you were kind of, you know, hinting at. So let's hit the spoilers so we can get into it 100%. So, man, I was late to the movies. No, I'm just kidding.
I was like, Jesus Christ, you're kidding.
So you get there, and they give you this crash course really fast of people in this family's life in this laundromat. They live above the laundromat, and there's haggard-looking Michelle Yeoh, you know, who just, you know, looks like stereotypical, you know, and her husband, who just seems to be such a nice guy, and, you know, the daughter, who's all disheveled, and, you know, she, you know, with her girlfriend there, and, you know, it's just an interesting setup. What did you think?
Yeah, so, like, it's, these kind of movies are always weird, I think, at the beginning, because as the audience, I would say for the most part, I'm sure some people go to movies blind. I'm sure that happens quite often.
Yes.
Or without knowing, I'm so sorry, without knowing anything about the movie, I shouldn't say that. So, I do believe that, like, you start, it's weird to watch these parts because you're like, I know that something's going to change.
Yes.
Right? Like, you know, like something way outlandish is going to happen. Not like, because if you went into this movie and you hadn't known anything about it going in, like you'd never seen a preview, I feel like it would really blow your mind because this opening part is so average. And that's the point. It's like average every day. The monotony of life and the misery of like certain things, right?
Yeah, there was so much miserable things, and but they shot it in a comedic way, you know, like
life is funny, and also like the things that make us less than ourselves or questionable to other people are also funny.
Yeah, she had this antagonistic relationship with her daughter, who, you know, their back and forth was frustrating but funny. You know, you're still kind of like, you know. Whatever. And then the granddaddy shows up down there. Basically, he shouldn't have had no drawers on. That would have made it even funnier, you know. Because the way the daughter reacted when she saw him, you know, like, you see him every day, but you look, you know, he showed up talking about, I'm ready to eat. I'm hungry, you know.
Yeah.
And that disgusting stuff he was doing with his,
with his tissue? Nose
and the chopsticks.
But I mean, like, I feel like that's, you know, just some people do that.
Oh, God, but it was disgusting. So, you know, the girlfriend is there, and she was, you know, the mom, you know, does not introduce the girlfriend as a girlfriend to the grandfather, and that causes a rift. So she's upset and mad, and she leaves, and they have to go to the IRS. And I guess she was going to go, but now the daughter's upset, and they have to go to the IRS because I guess the way they keep their, you know, they're being audited.
It's like the claims that they've been making to the IRS.
Yeah, just doesn't make sense.
Are found to be fraudulent, right?
Yeah, because they're running a laundromat and, you know, it's karaoke machines and all this stuff. But one thing I did really like about the Michelle Yeoh character right from the beginning was she was setting up that New Year's Eve party, you know.
Yes.
You know, I like that, you know, and she invited, you know, everybody in this movie, it took me to the end of the movie to realize that everybody in this opening scene is in all the rest of the scenes, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like multiple people play multiple people.
Right, and, you know, she invites the one young lady, you know, to the party as they're leaving out, and she's looking at her like, yeah, sure, ain't no way in hell I'm coming. But she was there later on, yeah. You know? So I thought that was interesting. What is Michelle Yeoh's character name?
Evelyn.
Evelyn, right. And so they go to the IRS, and there's Jamie Lee Curtis looking the worst I've ever seen.
I love it. I just love that she's really leaning into this character. And I mean, you guys, I don't want to like jizz my pants over this movie, but it's fucking fantastic. Like, it's so good. Everybody's doing such a good job.
Yep.
The characters are strange, but like in a way that's like, I mean, and things happen that become unbelievable because it's whatever, but like they are all very believable characters, right?
Yeah,
you've met this fucking person.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're terrible.
Yo, she was awful, man. She was basically
just like, I'm gonna, it's I used to work for the state, and there are people who the 100%. Only joy in their life
100%
is to make someone fucking miserable, yeah. Or to have a gotcha or catch you.
Yep.
And it's like, and they spent probably way more government money.
Yep.
Ferreting out these people.
Yeah.
Than the $50 that someone scanned from the IRS.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is definitely a character, but her appearance just cracks me up.
I know.
With the big stomach. I like when she sucks it in, when she, you know, she turns into other like people.
Powerful, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, right, but she gets this piece of paper that has instructions as she's walking up, you know, and they're outlandish instructions, and you know, you've seen the preview, so you know it's got something to do with, you know, her doing something else, and she chooses not to follow the directions. She goes and she sits down, and as she's reading and sitting,
well,
and
he said you can do either.
Yeah. So next thing you know, that scene when she sucked into the closet was interesting because I felt like everybody saw it. But then once she's in the closet, you realize, oh, she's in two different places. And then her husband, Wayman, comes in, but he's not Wayman. And I love when he takes off the glasses, you know, and
he's so cool.
He's so smooth and stuff. Yeah.
Here's the thing. Even in the Goonies.
Yeah.
I thought he was cool, right? I mean, I know they were nerds, and he was supposed to be a nerd, but he was cool. He was like, yeah, that's the cool nerd. And, like, here he's like, and you guys, later,
yeah.
When he's in the movie, when she's a movie star and he sees her,
it's a smooth,
ha-cha-cha.
He's a smooth MF.
Look, I was like, holy shit.
Look, people my age grew up with Kwan, man. He was short round. He was in the Goonies, and then he disappeared. Totally, for years, you
he
know?
Talked about that in this movie, not in this movie, but like in some interviews for this movie.
You know, what did he say?
Well, like, there's a lot of Asian racism as far as like leading characters
in
Hollywood.
Yeah.
And that was part of the problem for him.
Well, good for him, you know, but he came back, he's so perfect because he is such a genuine, sweet person as the husband, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know, he's just like, I just don't understand. And even Wayman, the futuristic Wayman, he's like, look, haven't you noticed that people are just mean? They're just not kind. They just, you know, it's all because of this, and you're going to make your choice. So they zoom to the other universe where this character walks up. Looks like she has an old lady wig on, and this is the antagonist, right? But we don't know who she is, and I had no idea who was going to be. So in the middle of this thing, you know, it happens, you know, she does the warp, she puts the things on, and she's in two places at once, and she gets taught, what, Kung Fu real quick?
Yeah, so I think the first person that she, is it the movie star? Because the movie star became famous kind of like a Bruce Lee situation where a very talented martial artist then got into movies because there was a martial arts movie demand, right?
Yes.
So that's kind of like, so she was a very good martial artist, and then she was an actress.
Right.
And so.
Very interesting how they did that.
They pull these skills. I love this. So basically, the Wayman that is the alpha Wayman, the other Wayman, the one that comes from the other universe, is badass, right?
Let's talk.
Fights with the fanny pack.
Let's talk about the fanny pack scene, man.
Let's talk about it.
Blew my cheeks. He was just, look, he was like Bruce Lee, man. He had the serious look. He had the moves. And he pulls his fanny pack, and he beats the shit out of these four guards, who I felt sorry for, because they were just like, they none of them wanted to fight him. He was all like, come on, man, come on. And next thing you know, he's beating the shit out of them. They're getting beat up. And he don't even pull punches with the lady. You know, dude pulls out the gun and takes the gun away from him. Then he puts the fish rocks
The fish rocks in there. And then I will say that, like, you guys, it's brilliantly choreographed.
It's beautiful. It's ballet.
It's really great to watch. It's funny. And then at the end, the last move whips it around and he gets it back on his belt. And I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah, yeah. All so with a fanny pack. And then he turns back into Wayman. You know, it keeps going in and out, you know.
Yeah, so it's kind of like you're a vessel. Like, they're a vessel for people who can jump.
Yeah.
But also, you like, that's the thing. They're jumping through the people's memories, and then they're retaining their skills.
And let's not forget, when that was happening, like, the divorce paper shows up. And I was confused with the divorce paper because I wasn't sure whose it was until they talked about it more, you know?
Yeah, it was Wayman had them at the
Yeah, he just wanted to have them there, you know? He was like, oh, no, you know? And so then this conversation is happening during this, all these ass whoopings and stuff, you know, about this divorce, right? You know, she's like, well, why would you? He was like, well, you know, you never, you know, we don't talk, and, you know, you don't, there's nothing in between us. So I thought that was such an interesting, like, it's not even a trope, but it was such a different dichotomy going on that you just like, there's like so much stuff going on with this lady in her life. And at the same time, all this Save the Universe stuff was happening too. And it never got convoluted for me. They did a really good job
keeping that together. No, it's very linear as far as, like, it's a very confused, it's not confusing plot, but, like, to try to, like, explain to someone exactly what happened, you probably couldn't, but it makes sense while you're watching it.
Yeah. And this is a great part too, when Jamie Lee Curtis turns into, like, the Jason Voorhees. Like, she's just, like, walking around the office, stalking her, you know, up the stairs and down the stairs, and she gets her head rammed into the wall and stuff like that. And it's just, like, so good, man. It's like, wow, really, really, really good. What did you think?
Yeah, I think that it's a really... So sometimes, my hair is crazy. Sometimes when you are trying to create a villain, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. You can do stuff like, I like that in this one, since they're all the same and it's just like variable slight differences that like could be advantageous or not, mm-hmm, that they do a lot of like lighting work and like she's doing a lot of body work to like make the subtle changes to be like, there's this one and then there's this one. And I thought that was really... And I think at this point we've talked about Jobu Tepaki, like, in the movie, not us personally. Mm-hmm. But, like, so these are Jobu Tepaki is the big bad in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is one of her minions, and that's why, so there's the circle symbol that happens throughout the movie that we'll talk about.
Yeah.
And I actually thought this was kind of creepy. I mean, maybe because I've been playing a video game that sets place in an office with creepy people, but, like, this was kind of creepy to me.
Yeah, it turns out that the villain is the daughter.
Yes.
And that was very surprising to me. I didn't see it coming. I thought
But it makes all so much sense when you, like, I want to see this movie again knowing everything.
Yeah, because, right, you didn't know what the hell was going to happen next. Very, very interesting movie. You know what? I like to just take a break out real quick and just say, I will say this movie isn't for everybody, man. And not everybody's going to feel the way about it that we are feeling about it. I there were people in my movie theater laughing out loud, a lot of them, in a lot of these scenes.
Yeah, it's supposed to be funny.
There were people who walked out of the theater.
Yeah, we had people walk out as well. But it wasn't, it was weird because, like, to me, this doesn't seem offensive in any way. But so, like, I think maybe what you're talking about is that there's things that go in people's butts. There's the scenes where she fights with the dildos as a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
So part of this is that the theme of this movie, kind of, not to, like, get too ahead of everything, is that, like, yeah, nothing matters, and therefore it matters.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, it's, like, has to do with, like, depression and stuff and her daughters and their inability to accept each other and all these other themes and like, just being good to people, which is, that's why I kind of said beautiful at the top, is that, like, Evelyn learns eventually that that's what it's about. But anyway, so what I'm saying is that, like, because of that, because of just, like, the chaotic nature of that kind of mentality and the power that Jobu Tepaki has is, like, that things get weird and strange. Like, she kills that guy by turning his head into confetti. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So it makes sense in the movie, but to, like isolated incidents, yeah.
So they have this showdown that's happening, you know, where the guys had the things up their cheeks, which I... It bothered me.
Who fucking cares? It's so funny.
So, you know.
But I do think that there's a lot in this movie where this is funny for this person, not for this person. This is funny for that other person, yeah, not for the other,
yeah,
person.
Yeah, you know, I was definitely able to just to keep on rolling. And, you know, this thing, they're fighting and it's a kung fu flick. And what I'm really liking about this movie is right around this time, it stops being a kung fu flick. And it turns more into a sci-fi drama. And I thought that was such a great choice because if they would have just kept fighting through the whole movie to the end, you know, for 2 hours, then it would have got really old. You know what I'm saying? To mm-hmm. me, I would have, I don't know. How did you feel about that?
No, I like that. Like if, yeah, it would not be the same. It wouldn't be like everything was different. It would be like barely different.
Yeah.
This incorporates one of the things I love about this movie too, is that like, so when it starts to become more of a time travel,
yeah,
drama, or right, multiverse drama, they go play. Every time I watch a movie that has multiple realities, I'm always like, why isn't there an animated reality? Why isn't there this kind of reality? Why is it always like barely different realities?
I get you.
And this fucking movie, you guys, they go to fucking places that are, they do a stick drawing one. They have like one where there's pinatas, there are rocks in one for a lot, and that scene with the rocks is really poignant, and I think that's part of the reason why I like the Daniels so much, is because they take these ridiculous concepts or something that, like, if you were thinking about it, you'd be like, that's like, when I say it out loud, I'm like, that sounds pretty stupid.
Yeah,
but there's this really poignant moment where they're just two rocks.
I thought that was going to ruin the movie, but it was, people were laughing out hysterically, yeah, loud during that whole scene, like, you know, and I was like, it works. The scene worked. It worked really good. So the daughter's the villain, and she's trying mm-hmm. to like basically convince the mother to come along with her to, you know, to oblivion.
Into the everything bagel.
But it's basically, you know, just, I believe, right, going to cancel out everything, you know, the end, right, of the end of everything, end of the universe.
Or specifically, I think those two would definitely die. She was looking for a way to no longer be conscious.
Yeah. And the mom had become more conscious because she had the ability to go past the fractures, you know, because she could do it on her own. She was kind of like a special thing. And the other Wayman kept coming in, you know, because there was like a force led by the grandfather to stop, you know, the granddaughter.
Yes.
And that scene where she had the blade to cut her throat as she was not the antagonist, she was actually her daughter. And she couldn't cut her throat. She cut her loose and stuff. But the girl was like, Mom, that's, what you about to do?
That's Rakakuni scene, which I think we have to talk about Rakakuni.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I love Rakakuni. But when she's like screaming about, like, you know, the movie where the raccoon makes, right, the chef, right, Rakakuni. And then the daughter's like, do you mean Ratatouille? Yeah. And then they both laugh at her in a way. I think that that's so, such a great like mother-daughter moment. But then later there is a Rakakuni.
Yeah, and I didn't know where they were going with that. Did you know, once it was revealed and stuff, because at that point it was so much chaos going on in the movie.
Because, yes,
this was happening. But, you know, going back to the Oscars,
the hot dog scene. Oh, what do you think about the hot dog universe?
I was like, Tiff finally loves this. The people had hot dogs for hands.
I do. And I love it. And they put it in their mouths, and they're, yeah, like mustard coming out,
right,
of their mouths.
Oh.
It's amazing. I know you're so upset, but I mean, like, we're kind of coming to this point in the movie where, like, obviously there's a parallel between her joy, which is,
I thought the hot dog people scenes were really actually really good, especially knowing that, you know, she was thought she was the enemy in every universe, but that was her lover in that universe, you know, and,
yeah,
I was just like, oh, that was really, really good.
And there's lots of times that, like, they have those connections between her and that's another, like, lovely thing about this movie, is that, like, in a lot of ways we're all the same.
But Wayman's speech about being kind,
I know,
oh my goodness, I was like, man, I wish the world could hear that scene. Mm-hmm. Especially when they got back to a little kung fu action and he was just like, be kind, just please be, yeah, kind. And it sounds ridiculous, but to see his performance doing that, bravo, Chief, bravo.
It's really very moving. I think, like, this is one of those movies that, like, if you were feeling down, you could. I mean, I was kind of feeling down when I saw it, and I think it made me feel better, which is a crazy accomplishment for a piece of art of any kind.
Yeah.
But at this point, after that speech, Evelyn has, like, she goes through and, it, like, there's the moment of change when she realizes, obviously, this is a message of the movie, that, like, yeah, you're sad. And sometimes you fight back with anger because you are upset with the things that are happening in your life or the way that things have turned out. And it was like, but the answer
is to
push it back out and make the world better for other people, because that's how you make the world better for yourself and be kind and blah, blah. So she does all these. So instead of, like, fighting these people, she does all these ridiculous things, like, that make them happy.
Yeah. She gave them joy. I was like, it was a lot of people in that room. I was like, how long is this going to take?
They did it well, yeah.
Let's also rewind back just a minute when the movie mm-hmm. was almost, you thought it was over. I was like.
Oh, when they run the short credits?
Yeah, and I was like, no. But then I was like, they did it for so long. I was like, damn, they're going to end this shit like this? Man, it's not going to be a good movie. I was like, man, I'm about to tear this movie up. And then, like, it got back into it, and I was like, wow. So that's why I said I didn't trust it when it did it. And I was like, is it more?
Yeah.
You know? So they have those scenes with her and her daughter are contemplating stepping into the oblivious, you know, into the thing. And, you know, that was a good back and forth struggle, especially with, you know, I love the fact that they was having that conversations in multiple universes, especially at the laundromat where the mom goes crazy. She gets a divorce paper. She, you know, cracks the window out and stuff, you know, takes the bat away from the cop or security guard, you know. And I was like, what is this IRS agent doing coming here after work just to tear this lady up? And they end up, what, smoking on a vape or something like that, yeah. And become
talking
friendly
about her divorce.
Yeah, become friendly, and it was working. And the only person that couldn't see it was the daughter, but the daughter was missing, in my opinion, that connection with the mother that they did not have, which a lot of you know, women and their moms don't have. But they're able to make that connection and agree to disagree and agree to be different, but agree that I still love you. And it was powerful, Tev. That was really, really powerful. I was like, wow, this movie is not what you think it is, you know. And I'm so glad it didn't want to be a kung fu flick, because that's what I thought it was.
You gotta watch this movie.
Yeah.
There's like it's just a really well done movie, and it's interesting and different. It's like different than a lot of movies you've seen, and
it's the most different movie I didn't seen in a long time, Tiff. I did not expect this at all. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's just worth your time, I think.
Yeah, I would agree with you 100%. It was really, really interesting. I recommend it. But I will say again, it's not for everybody. Some mm-hmm. of this stuff, like, I mean, just what happened in that movie theater, I've never seen that. Like, people mm-hmm. enjoying it so much, and then people literally, I'm out of here, you know, and I'm like, wow. You know, and mm-hmm. it was, I ain't never seen that before. So, I don't know, man. It's a total recommend from anybody who likes, like, kung fu flicks, sci-fi flicks, especially ones with heart that can, you know, give you something that's not your everyday run-of-the-mill. What about you?
I can't recommend it more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, man. Then, so that's it, man. We came to do that thing, and we got it done. And so that's going to do it, man. I have no idea, but I know in the spirit of interdimensional garbage, we did the one. Y'all remember that? Mm-hmm. Jet Li, the one. Sort of, I thought was going to be like kind of the same thing when this thing first came out. It's not the same thing at all, but some interesting things in the one.
Yeah, okay. Excited to talk about
yes,
it.
Yes, indeed. So check that out on the Patreon, man. You know, so that'll be available on Wednesday, man. So that's it, Tiff. I don't know what we're doing next week. We have to come up with something. So until next week, that's it, man. I'm the host of Fantasy Patrol, Mr. Button, all the way up to the top. With me is my co-host, Miss Tiffobot. Say goodbye to these lovely, lovelies, Tiff.
It's been a pleasure, as always.
All right, and until next week, man, we will be
on Patrol.